Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk more about Advent, the 4 weeks of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. The first week, we touched on the concept of faith and its function in the developmental process. The second week, we focused on hope and the application of expectancy in the unfolding of spiritual understanding. This week, we will discuss the purpose of joy and the significance of the feeling state. Listen as we continue to explain how something invisible and intangible can be so sensible. The role of the causal spiritual body as a practical guide for extremely effective living. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and experience eternal happiness. So, Swami, that word happiness makes me want to ask you, is there a difference between happiness and joyfulness?
Yeah, I think you can make those distinctions. I think it could be a very personal thing. And sometimes I think it's helpful, just like the Eskimos have 70-something plus words or whatever for snow, that there are all different types of snow. And so happiness and enthusiasm and joy, these are all different words that should be associated with different experiences. And I think happiness really typically has been associated with something external that sustains it, where I think joy might have an internal support structure, so that one is more based on outside circumstances, situations, conditions, and joy is more based on a subjective, inner, internal environment.
Sounds like it's almost like an upgrade to happiness.
I think they could be very compatible, and I think might even be able to work together, that maybe an optimal experience would be when subjective state is in a joyful condition and your outside world is picturing and supporting that inner subjective state. And I think that would be considered optimal.
Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, how would we know if we're not being joyful? What would create us not to be joyful?
Well, again, it could be the association between your inner subjective state. You have certain expectations, and the outside environment isn't supporting it. And so it has the tendency to deflate your subjective condition. And that's where I think practices like Kriya Yoga and having a spiritual discipline that enables you to support yourself internally, so that in the event that the outside world doesn't support you, that you're able to switch gears and now sustain yourself internally. And that's, I think, a big part of the role of the causal spiritual body in Kriya Yoga. It's the role of the concept of God in religion. That if you have a relationship with God, or you have an awareness of the presence of your causal spiritual body, then you now have internal support. And you're also relying on something that doesn't report in your senses so that you can't be disappointed. You can't be let down because you're not looking in that arena anymore. You're no longer looking in the outside world for a symbol that is going to produce the feeling that you equate with this thing we call happiness.
So I think we also need to be careful that being happy or being joyful is much different than just thinking that we're happy and joyful or positive thinking in general. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there is a big difference between positive thinking and eternal optimism. Again, I think the big difference is that one, positive thinking, you're still working with thoughts and opinions and data that is coming from dualities, and you have a belief in two powers. So you're under the law of karma. That once you have a sense of the presence of divine law, a presence of the one power, the perfection of your being, and you have attention for that, now you have the antidote for the regressive cycle, for the cycle of death and rebirth, that you now have a relationship with the resource that will never fail you.
So what would it look like if we find ourselves in a state where we're agitated or irritated, what would it look like for us to pull ourselves out of it to become that joyful person or be in that joyful state?
I think one of the first things that can be really helpful is to recognize it and then to realize that you're being individualized from the world mind, that you are basically being controlled by the law of karma. Because typically, if you're in a bad mood or you're having a bad day or you're angry, you're frustrated, like you said, there is something that is causing that. And if you continue to have a belief in two powers, the very best that you're going to be able to do is turn that bad mood into a finite good mood, which will also be kind of undermined with a chronic anxiety for when is it going to go down? When is somebody going to do something that's going to disrupt my positive mood, this good feeling that I'm having? And so you're kind of setting yourself up. Whereas if you are more established in a relationship with divine mind, and divine mind can't be bad. Divine mind is absolute goodness. It is eternal happiness. And to have that in the foreground of your field of awareness can't help but produce this feeling of joy, bliss, wonder, happiness. Eternal happiness. And so in that framework, and to me, that is what the origins of religion and the origins of yoga was, union with this sustaining infinite, this source of sustenance that is perfect, harmonious, whole, complete. And once we have attention for it and we can start to activate it in our reality, then it will start to externalize. And like Socrates said, you know, that the inner man and the outer man must be as one.
I just want to get clarification on what you said earlier when you mentioned belief in two powers. We may have listeners that may not know what it is that we're talking about. Can you just briefly explain what the two powers are?
Yeah, they are the opposites, that we really work on the principle of manifestation. The concept of God, the concept of spirit, is everywhere and in everything, but no one sees it. And the key question here is why? If God is everywhere and in everything, why don't we see it? And the answer is that God is whole. It's complete. That in order for something to materialize, in order for something to report in our five-sense mind, it has to split from unity. It manifests in half, and then it leaves behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And that is what sets up the Trinity, which was the underpinnings of a reality system that is in accordance with divine law. And the Trinity is also supported by the discoveries in quantum physics, where they found that underlying matter was energy, and underlying energy is the void. And two of those dimensions, particles and waves, are verifiable. But the void, this position of non-locality, is not verifiable. So a big part of how this whole thing works is that you start to understand that the only true reality is spirit. That spirit is the only force in this universe that is self-existent. That everything comes out of the void or the nothing. And the appearance of things, which is what we think is real, isn't real at all. And a lot of this has been proven with, again, the discoveries in physics, in the new physics that's out there, that reality is observer dependent. That what we think is real isn't there if we're not looking at it. And a lot of this really, I think, supports divine law. That spirit is the only cause, the only creator. Yeah, so coming back to duality and the belief in two powers, the things that are in half are the things we believe in, when in fact we need to have belief in the thing that's whole. The thing that is invisible and intangible, because that's what has all the power, the true power.
So you're talking about our belief and trust and love for God.
Right.
Above everything else.
Right. And in reality, God is the only thing. That anything that has appeared to split from it is really in a false sense of existence. It's not even real.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking a lot in our previous shows about this concept of thinking with God as God. What does that look like when we're doing it?
Yeah, that I think is so key, because that comes out of Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy made that statement in an article that she wrote called The Body. And to think with God as God shows us the perfection of the body. But to drill down with that, you have to understand that God is spirit. God is whole. God only knows wholeness. And so, coming back to Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy made a distinction between thoughts and ideas. That thoughts is what happens in the realms of duality, the changing conditions of our personal mentality. But divine mind works in the absolute. It is whole. It is complete. Duality doesn't even report in the realm of spirit.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will return with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, obviously we're talking about this week of Advent, which is joy. And when I think of joy, or hear the word joy, I think of that, the Christmas song, Joy to the World, and then it says the Lord has come. So what should we learn from that particular hymn, those two lines right there?
Well, I think the takeaway that I have with that is that your association between the symbol and the feeling, you want to be happy not because of the fact that things might be going good in the outside world for you, but that you can see the good in everything, that this indestructible principle that is the infrastructure and the support system for the entire universe is here. And to have awareness of it, to have it reveal itself to you, is really what we want to be looking for. And to associate that with that feeling that I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough. And not be really because of anything in the outside world, but because you know that you are in an eternal relationship with this source of sustenance.
So it's much more than just being joyful because we are alive. We should be joyful because there is a divinity that resides within us. That's what we should tap into and be joyful about.
Yeah, and I think we should be joyful simply because we are alive and not mortal. That we're not accepting our mortality. We're not the type of life that can become dead. When we are alive and you have that sense of connectedness with spirit, you have an association with eternal life. Which I think that's what true joy brings.
Yeah, I have in our notes for the show here, you have written down that the simple joy of being alive, I am happy because the universe loves me. Because we are loved, we are now able to love. I think that's a pretty powerful sentence there.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it should work. Because divine law is the law of love. And this is absolute love. It's not the same as human love. It's not what we as human beings think love is. It's not love that can become hate. It's not love that you can fall in and out of. This is absolute eternal love. That's the real deal. And then the joy that comes with that is, again, it's not something that is going to put you on some kind of emotional roller coaster. That I'm having a great day, and then all of a sudden somebody said something to me, and now I'm depressed, or I'm angry, or I'm frustrated. And then something else happens, and the next thing you know, it's you're back on your high horse, and everything is going great. That's really not what this is like. That divine mind is the changeless state of being. And that's what we really want to try and reside in. We want to bask in the limelight of divine light, of divine mind, and let that take over the scientific government of our being.
You just reminded me of a saying that I heard a long, long time ago, and that was, there's a fine line between love and hate. And, you know, even as a young child, I never really bought into that. I didn't believe it. And now it kind of makes sense the way you explain it.
Yeah, because that's, again, that is finite love. Unfortunately, most of us, that's all we really know. Because we have been individualized by the world mind, which is the counterfeit. It is the imitation of divine mind. Only world mind is still under the law of karma. So it has good aspects and it has bad aspects. It is under the law of opposites. Whereas divine mind is under the rulership of the one power, the one principle of this universe, which is life, love, harmony, peace, happiness. It's everything that you want to wake up on Christmas morning and experience.
Now, I know we talk a lot about being able to demonstrate our levels of understanding, and we have in our notes that joy is the happiness that stems from spiritual understanding. Eternal happiness stems from understanding ideas. Worldly happiness stems from understanding things. Intellectual happiness stems from understanding thoughts. So can you just delve a little deeper for us about those?
Whatever it is that we desire, whatever it is that we are attracted to, is really going to determine our fate, our outcome. That's the physics of spirituality that we keep bringing into the foreground. If we are attracted to things, then we are of a lower animal nature. If we are attracted to thoughts, we are of an not equally, but an also a low human nature. But if we are attracted to ideas, which are whole thoughts, they are complete, that spirit cannot be divided. You can't experience spirit in parts, that wholeness. That's why they call the term holy, that when someone is spiritual, they are holy, that they reside in the absolute. And when you are attracted to that, you are of a divine nature. Yeah, so getting back to your original question, we really can only demonstrate our level of understanding. So if we have spiritual understanding, then we can demonstrate divine law. But if we have an understanding of thoughts, or we have an understanding of the world, then we can only demonstrate karma, the law of karma, which again is, it's finite and it's changing and it is going to be an ongoing struggle. But I think a lot of us have accepted that as the stop that we want to get off with regard to our spiritual practice, that I'm happy if I can get more of the pleasures and the profits of the world. And that's about as far as I want to go with this. But for somebody that wants to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then you have to go the full distance, which means that you have to separate and lose a personal sense of self and then align yourself with spirit, with the absolute, because that's the one that will demonstrate spiritual truth.
So understanding that we are eternal spiritual beings means that we never die. We're never vulnerable to any adversity or any wrongdoings around us, surrounding us, or within us.
Right, that we walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. One of the biggest barriers to this whole thing is when we think we're spiritual, but we are still demonstrating from the level of world mind, and we're suffering with sin, sickness, pain, discord, and we continue to think that we are spiritual, that's when it becomes problematic. Because you basically have the wrong symbol producing the right feeling. The term in yoga is called avidya, ignorance. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And the term in the religious community is sin. You're missing the mark. But in order for us to really resolve this, today I think the thing you really want to be able to do is turn inward. And find that still small voice to be able to kind of hardwire yourself to the presence of spirit. But be very careful that you are aligned with the one true God that they talk about and not the false God.
Is that why something like using yoga or any spiritual science for, say, like trauma or, I mean, whatever the buzzword is that's going on right now, is that why it just doesn't, it'll never work? It just doesn't work?
Right. And it can't work because the difference, again, between positive thinking and the eternal optimist is all going to be outpictured by what you accept is real. And so the perfect example of somebody who is, again, whether you get it from the medical community or the yoga community, if you are getting your information from the physical dimension, if you are getting your information from your five sense mind, then you are under the law of karma. And the goal of yoga, the goal of religion is liberation, and it's liberation from the law of karma. So your belief in the simple fact that trauma exists is what perpetuates the law of karma.
Yeah, and getting back to understanding certain things too, like you had mentioned heaven before, and I think a lot of us think heaven as is a place that we go, like our spirits exit our body and we go to heaven, where you say that heaven is actually a state of being, not a place to go.
Right. It is a level of consciousness that is available to us right here, right now. And that's exactly what we want to try and do, is acknowledge it, activate it, and then begin to live out from it, because it is perfect. It is whole. It is harmonious. And it is eternal.
I love what you have in your notes here, and it says, the simple joy of being alive, I am happy because the universe loves me.
Right, and the evidence procedure that we have always used is that it is giving us what it is that we need to sustain ourselves.
Well, I think this is a good place to end our program for this morning. So listeners, be sure to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, there's all kinds of learning tools there for your continued learning experiences. Be sure to tune in to our Wednesday night Facebook Live episodes that we do at 5 p.m. Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to activate the presence of divine law, which is here now, that is supporting each of us now, and start to bask in it and let it reveal itself to us with this feeling of joy. And at any time, if you find that you've fallen out from the jurisdiction of this everlasting happiness, that all you really have to do is acknowledge it, and it will start to express itself in the experiences that you are externalizing. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.